We are back at it. Welcome back to another edition of the Pistols Firing Podcast. One of my favorite weeks of the year is upon us. Hello, friends. Welcome to Augusta National. I feel like I'm there, Kyle.
Well, I am about to be there here in about 20.
Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in. I'm so jealous. I've never been. You get to go all the time as a fan. Now you get to cover it. You lucky dog.
Yeah, it's it really is a thrilling week. You know, we've talked about this numerous times, but it's work. You know, for me, for the players, for most of the people that are there. But man, what a way to work. Like, what a job. What an office for the week. I'm sure you've seen the new media center, and I don't know. It's the best. It's the coolest place, and it's always the most looked forward to and exciting week of the year.
Yeah, it's a little different than you back in your college days posting up on 16 drinking beers. You're on deadline. CBS is writing you like Seabiscuit, churning out videos, columns, articles. It's a little – people don't – really grasp just how much different it is when you're working as opposed to just hanging out and eating pimento cheese sandwiches.
Riding me like Seabiscuit. I'm gonna feed that to some of our. Maybe I'll meet Nance this weekend. I'll feed that to him. Riding me like Seabiscuit. That's great. Now it's. Have you seen the media center, by the way?
I saw a picture you posted of it. It was like a throwback. Like kind of modeled it after the old one too, but it's new.
It looks like a palace. It's a joke. Like it's next to the driving range, and it's gonna be awesome. Like I'm really fired up.
Do you have a name tag where like if you want to ask a question, it like buzzes you in and says who's asking the question? I've read that.
That sounds like that's what's gonna happen. I don't know. I haven't obviously seen the layout yet, but their video room, like where they do the press conferences and everything, it's like a studio. Like it's like. It looks like a television studio, like a production center.
So. Yeah. Well, you get a badge, I think, for being in the media, and you get your own locker.
Yeah.
And they're numbered, so you need to see if you can get number 34, the number 34 locker for obvious reasons.
Yes, for obvious reasons. If not,
okay. I'm looking at the media center. This is just spectacular.
It really, yeah, it's crazy. What is your, like, what do you do for Masters weekend? Like, walk me through, like, how do you post up? How do you enjoy the Masters?
Well, I download the app so I can have the leaderboard just at my hands at all times.
Yes.
As it's going on. I get up early in the morning. You can watch I hate the Masters coverage, how it doesn't start until 2 o'clock. We've talked about that for years.
Easy, yeah.
CBS notwithstanding. I'm a company man. If you want to send me CBS, I'll gladly cross sides there. But no, I watch online. You know, they do have some great online coverage where you can go to CBS or the Masters website and watch Amen Corner and the like. But I mainly just watch from home, and then usually I'm working and covering it as well. But you know, I'm big on the pools, which we'll get to after our guests. That's how I really enjoy it is I'm in a few Masters pools, and me and my dad, we kind of grind on it and go over our picks and stuff. And it's just it's a good way to get kind of involved in the Masters and have a rooting interest other than obviously, you know, Ricky Fowler and the OSU guys.
Is your dad just all the way out on like the Rorys and the Rickies, like the, you know, like the modern, just, you know, new school guys that wear the kind of weird clothes and stuff like that. Is he like just totally out on that?
No, he's not totally out. I mean, he likes Ricky obviously for obvious reasons. So I think he's warmed up to the white belts. He hates the pink pants. Anytime anybody has pink pants out, he's always yelling at his TV a little bit, but he's not totally old fashioned. He can get behind some of the new looks thanks to Ricky.
That's awesome. Okay, well, we have a fun guest. We have an Augusta native today. It's time for the Coop Ale Works guest of the week. Coop Ale Works bring great tasting craft beer in Oklahoma City. Try the flagship F5 IPA, the bold DNR Belgian Strong Ale, or the refreshing Horny Toad Blonde. For your next watch party, tailgate, or get together with friends, enjoy a cold Coop Ale Works, and please remember to drink responsibly. Carson, we are going to call a former Masters participant and hoping to again be a participant in the Masters. Charles Howell is our guest today.
Chucky Three Sticks.
Yeah.
We had him on the podcast, I think, last year, around this time of the year.
Yeah, he told that tiger shark story. Do you remember that?
It hasn't left me. Refresh my memory, though. It was he got out of the cage and swam with sharks, right?
He got out of the boat and like swam to an island, like in the distance.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, and he's just thinking the whole time, like, I'm gonna be in national news. Tiger Woods eaten by a shark.
Yeah,
with Charles Howell III.
They were there for the president's because South Africa in like 2002 or something.
South Africa has like the giant great white sharks that like jump out of the water.
Tiger's like, I'm good. I'm just going to swim like a mile to that island over there.
Yeah, he might be doing that right now as we speak.
Yeah,
since he's not playing.
Okay, let's call Mr. Howell and see what he's up to. Charles?
Yes.
How we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. We're on. We're live. I'm here with Carson Cunningham.
Hey, Charles. Beautiful. Thanks for coming on, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
What are you doing this week? Are you posting up with some pimento cheese sandwiches? What's going on this week for you?
Well, I would love to be in Augusta, but the drill of kids and in school, it kind of keeps me in Orlando. But I'll be glued to the TV plenty.
Well, you've had so far this season, you've had a really good year. Finished second at Torrey Pines at the Farmers Insurance Open. Made it to, I believe, the Sweet 16 or the Round of 16 at the match play. And then also a top 20 at the Genesis Open at Riviera. There's some big-time courses. But how are you feeling about your game right now? And what do you feel like has been different about this year to where you're kind of moving up in the world rankings and playing really well?
Well, yeah, I've had a consistent year, which I like, and that's obviously, you know, part of this gig is to try to play consistently well over time. You know, I wish I could have made a couple of those, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth place finishes a little bit higher, obviously for the world ranking reasons. So, you know, had I been able to do that, I'd have been talking to you from Augusta right now, as opposed to Orlando, Florida.
Well, Charles, I'm a golf hack, but when I watch the Masters, I want to play. How does a professional golfer who's actually played in the Masters, what's the viewing experience like for you? And are you just chomping at the bit to like hit balls while you're watching? What's it like for you?
Well, I will say this, of every professional event around the world, whatever, you can get a varying range of answers on guys. If you want to be there, do you love it? Do you not? The Masters is the one event where every professional wants to play. You know, you'll get guys that say they don't like the U.S. Open, they don't like the British Open. You'll never hear a guy that says, you know, I just don't like the Masters. And so, you know, every professional wants to be there. And for those of us that aren't, you know, Xanax can work, other forms of medicine, therapists work. It's an event where every professional becomes a spectator. And, you know, we fill out our Masters pools and try to, you know, think who's going to play well, who may could win. And it's just a week. It's a great week for the game of golf, really.
Well, it's, you know, it's interesting to me just in covering this sport and following along, just guys like you and other guys who are around that top 50 who automatically qualify if you get inside the top 50. How much are you thinking about that in February and March as you're playing these events and trying to get those top fives and top tens to move on up and get into the Masters?
Oh, thinking about it a ton, you know, especially as you say, February, March time comes around and we all pay attention to when the top 50 world rank deadline is, et cetera. I mean, I promise you guys can't tell you when it is for the U.S. Open, but they can tell you when it is for the Masters. And it's a big deal.
Charles, my dad and I are big on the Masters pools, like you mentioned. Who are some guys that I probably need to have on my team? Who are guys you really expect to really play well this weekend?
You know, I'm struggling with it because I'm trying to fill mine out now, and I'm big on Sergio this week.
Yes,
especially with the weather being kind of windy Thursday and Friday. And you know, with that said, Augusta National is going to have their hands full setting that golf course up on Thursday and Friday, because you know, the last thing they want is balls moving on the greens, you know, with those wind gusts, and they're saying maybe up to 40 miles an hour. So they've always prided themselves on extremely fast greens, but it's going to be a difficult setup for them. So, you know, with the bad weather and the wind, I like Sergio. Yeah, a guy who actually I played with in the World Match Play, Terrell Hatton.
Yep.
You know, I like him. I like his game for it. Of the big guys or whatnot, in my heart's involved in this, I like Rory McIlroy. Maybe I'm too big of a fan not to see it clearer than that. Because
Kyle's
probably
the same way.
Dustin.
Yeah.
But, right, I understand. I've got a small man crush. I got a small man crush on Rory. But I'm okay with it. I've admitted it. That's step one. But, man, I sure would love to see him.
Yeah, it would be that. Yeah, I'm excited already thinking about writing that gamer. But you know,
yes.
Charles, it's interesting because you mentioned some big names, and you know, I think fans, especially casual fans, like they only know the big names, and they don't know the Ross Fishers and the Hideto Tanaharas and stuff like that. And you know, I would put you in the category of somebody who's had really an underrated career, just in terms of how difficult it is to be consistent on tour, to be in the top 125 for 17 straight years or whatever it is. And you mentioned Sergio. I put him in the category of having an underrated career just because people think that, you know, winning majors is everything. How do you who are some other guys that you feel like have been a little underrated throughout their careers? And how do other pros view winning versus just being consistent and getting top tens?
Well, you know, I'd say, you know, like every sport across the board, you've got your superstars in the game, right? And the superstars, they win a lot, and golf needs that. And one of the many reasons why Tiger was so good for the game is that he was able to win, and he brought new fans in. And I think in a way, you know, Tiger almost ruined golf for some of us in that he made winning look so easy.
Yeah.
So if you take him out of the equation, if Tiger Woods would have never existed, then Phil Mickelson has had an unbelievable career, right? Mm-hmm. With 42 wins, et cetera. But because he's judged in the Tiger era, you say, yeah, he's done okay, et cetera. So, you know, I think Sergio, as you said, is a great example of a guy that's kind of fallen victim a little bit to the, you know, the back end of the Tiger era. Even here recently, look at the run that Jordan Spieth has had.
Yeah.
I mean, people forget how many times this guy's already won. And I think, what is he, 19 now? But, you know, even Justin Thomas, for example, who's already won three times. And, you know, those guys have had awesome, awesome starts their career, but it's being judged maybe a little bit harshly because of the Tiger generation.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tiger, even though he's not playing this weekend, still kind of looms large. I know you guys are friends. Have you been able to talk to him and how just what he's going through right now with another injury setback?
You know what? No, I haven't. I haven't spoken to him since, you know, obviously he last played over it's San Diego. I know that from, you know, people that I've spoke with, et cetera, that he really honestly is doing all he can do to try to get back and play. You know, for all of us, we just want to see the guy play again. And, you know, from the years and the time we spent together playing and practicing and, you know, and even watching the guy in the gym with his fitness level, I would have never, ever bet that at age 40, he wouldn't be able to play the game. I thought Tiger was one of the guys that would be able to play as long as he wanted to. I would have just, if you'd asked me this however many years ago, I would have just never, ever seen this guy.
Charles, you played against John Rahm recently in the match play. He's a 22-year-old from Spain, just an incredibly talented player. How good was he, and how what do you think his chances are at winning at Augusta?
Well, one thing with John, we all know that he can hit the ball, right? Mm-hmm. He's a big Spaniard, got a really stable golf swing, and we know he drives it a mile, which everyone does now. But what surprised me playing with him was how good of a putter he was.
Yeah.
And that reason right there gives him a great chance at Augusta. Now, history shows us that what I think it's what is it only Fuzzy Zeller that's won his first year there.
Yeah, since 1979.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, obviously winning any tournament, winning the Masters, he's going to have his hands full. But if there is a, let's say, rookie or first timer there that can do it, I would put him at the top of the list. And because of his putting, it really impressed me how good he was with it.
A guy we have not mentioned yet, Ricky Fowler, the obvious OSU connection there. One,
yes.
You know, he's from, like you, he's not from Oklahoma. He's from California, but man, he reps the Orange and Oklahoma State as much as, or maybe more than anybody. What is it about that atmosphere at Oklahoma State that makes Ricky, who really doesn't have a local tie other than being there for 2 years, represent Oklahoma State so strongly? What is it about the OSU program that does that?
Well, I think, you know, what drew me to OSU was Coach Holder. And, you know, a lot of people, obviously we have phenomenal facilities, and Coach Bratton is always working to improve them and keep getting them better. But, you know, Coach Holder really drew me there, regardless of the facilities. And, you know, but then to see a player like Ricky, you know, from Southern California come to school there, I think it says, you know, tremendously about the school and about Carsten Creek and the whole program. And, but to see, you know, his continued support and other players as well, you know, Morgan Hoffman as well, you know, Kevin Tway, et cetera. So, I think there's something different about Oklahoma State and Oklahoma State golf in that, you know, it all feels a bit like a fraternity that once you get out of school, you kind of know you've all been through it together and you've been through the same, you know, the test of it, et cetera. And I don't know, it's just something about the school that's special that stays with players, I think, more than other universities.
Speaking of Coach Holder, Charles, can you confirm that you are not in the running to be the next athletic director at Oklahoma State?
Okay. I can completely confirm that. That is a job that, and, you know, if there's any human on the planet that can take pressure and or criticism, it is Mike Holder. But I can also promise you that the one thing athletic directors do not like doing is hiring coaches. So I know this, you know, last thing he's been through with the basketball has not been fun, and hopefully he's made a good decision.
I think the last time we talked to you, Charles, Mike Gundy did not have a mullet. Now it is in full bore. It is a national sensation. Just what are your thoughts on Mike Gundy being unleashed to the nation with his mullet?
You know what? I'm not a millennial. I'm old. And I don't personally, I don't get it. I really don't. I mean, and maybe, you know what, if the kids like it and if it helps them, then I think it's fantastic. I'm just not a millennial. I don't know. I don't get it. But hey, now his coaching, I think he's one hell of a coach. He's done a phenomenal job at OSU, and hopefully he stays at OSU and continues the trend. But yeah, the mullet, I think that's a question for another generation.
well, speaking of Coach Holder, you know, I've been sort of a defender of him as an athletic director just because of how much success Oklahoma State's had in football specifically, not as much in basketball, but other sports as well. Baseball goes to the World Series last year. I was wondering just what your insight is as somebody who knew him pretty closely as him being your coach, and just the job he's done in Stillwater, just kind of what you think about that and how you've seen his career progress over the last 20 years or so.
Well, I'll say the one thing for certain is there's no human on the planet that loves Oklahoma State University more than that man.
Yeah.
And everything we did, whether it was the practicing or the tournament or the travel, we were always representing the school and representing the alumni. And he was so big on that. And his love for that school is more than people can imagine. So, you know, for all the fans out there, they can rest assured that his heart is in the right place and his intention is in the right place. Now, with that said, he is a hard man. He's tough. Once he believes in something, he believes in it. But I can definitely say that the man loves OSU, and he'd do anything to make the school better.
When was the last time you played out at Carsten Creek, Charles? Just curious.
I was back there for Christmas. So I played it in December, and we were lucky. We got some nice weather days. And I went out there and played a few rounds up there. And unless there's still on the ground. I'll be out there playing, and I love it. I wish I could be back there playing more often because it's a phenomenal facility.
Charles, I have a random story. The guy that owns the gym that I work out at, he used to be a pro at Oak Tree. And yep. he said he played with you, 10, 15 years ago maybe, and that he was using a belly putter, and he made a lot of putts, I guess, when he played with you. And then the next tournament you played at, he watched on TV, you were using a belly putter. Did you switch putters because of him? Like, just do you remember that story at all, switching putters maybe?
I do remember it, and I do remember switching. And I was right in the era and the craze of the belly putter, and the guys went in the majors with him. And yes, I did switch to it. My first event with it was New Orleans, the Zurich Classic. And I remember I got on the first hole and I three putted from 12 feet. And I wondered, what have you done? And so it didn't last long, but yeah, the story's 100% true. And I wish I would have putted a little better with it, but yes, I gave it a go.
Thinking back to Augusta and the Masters coming up, Charles, yeah. What is your favorite? Give me like two or three holes that are your favorites out there when you're playing that course.
You know, everybody goes to, you know, Amon Corner or whatnot. I'd say the hardest hole in the golf course is 11.
Yeah.
When they added all the trees on the right side and forced your drive up the left side there, and added the links. I mean, it's a really, really difficult hole. You know, on the front side, the par three, number four, that's always an important and a big hole to watch too. You know, added the length to that hole, the green's not designed for the clubs that guys are hitting into it. My favorite hole in the front nine is the par 3-6. I think it's a very underrated hole. It's got a green where when the pin's on the front left, you can see guys make ones there or use the slope to feed the ball in.
Yeah.
I'd say that's my favorite hole. On the back nine, it's 15. I just think it's such a great par 5. If people haven't been lucky enough, you know, to go there, you won't realize how shallow that green is. So you're up there on top of the hill, and you've got a 4 or 5 iron in your hand, and the wind's swirling, and you're like, oh, I mean, this thing could end up anywhere. And, you know, that is the one thing about Augusta National, is that people talk about how beautiful it is, and it is. It's beautiful for everybody there but the players.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time you look at the flowers is probably Monday morning. And and after that, it's, I mean, you can make a double on every hole out there, and it can make you just look foolish. And so, you know, and people forget too, last year, late on Sunday afternoon, I think 1 under was in third place.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, those are U.S. Open type scores. And so the golf course has plenty of teeth in it. It's not just about as young as the golf course.
Charles, back to Ricky, what does he have to do well to really contend and perhaps win the green jacket this week? And what's the one thing that you look at his game and say, man, if he does this, he could have a real shot?
You know, Ricky's one of the guys that kind of has that it factor, where he's sort of that gamer mentality, a lot like a Jordan Spieth in that regard, where it just kind of seems like they can always find a way to get the job done. And I'd say if Ricky putts well, then he's got every chance to win next week. He drives the ball really stable. You know, Ricky's actually gotten along in the last couple of years. A few times I've played with him and whatnot, he's driving the ball further than he ever has. So if Ricky's able to putt well, because Ricky does like to putt aggressive, and if he's able to control that and do that well at Augusta, I think he's got a great chance.
Okay, we'll get you out of here on this, Charles. But you mentioned Rory earlier. I'm obviously a fan of just writing about him, his play. What is it about him that is so, I don't know, just feels a little bit generationally great about him, his personality, and his game?
Well, Ricky's one of the few guys when other players in the range will stop and watch him hit balls. And that's one of the tests for me, is of who would you stop and watch hit balls. And we start hitting drivers, a lot of people stop and watch. And Ricky, I mean, sorry, Royce, he's got the walk, he's got everything, right? And and I just think that of all the golf courses, I mean, this guy loves to hit a high draw on his driver.
Yeah.
you know, of all the major courses, this one just seems to fit him the best. And, you know, the, I mean, you look back to, what was it, 2011, if he doesn't hit that drive off the 10th tee, he probably already has one green jacket. So, you know, there's a lot of ghosts and demons around Augusta National, and hopefully they don't show up, and Rory's able to get through that bit, because I really just think he's a guy that could win four or five green jackets. I mean, with his game, the way it's suited, his putting seems to be much better, much more stable. I think he's got to be the favorite there.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Charles, we appreciate your time, as always. You're always very generous with it, and we look forward to the rest of the year. I will see you later on at the Players' Championship.
Oh, perfect. Well, very good. Well, before we go here, who's your one sleeper pick?
My sleeper, well, you mentioned it earlier. It was going to be Tyrrell Hatton. I didn't realize this. He's number 14 in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
well, how about Alex Noren?
Yeah, Noren.
I mean, he's an OSU guy.
Yeah, he. So he's only the second guy. How about this, Carson? This is for your pool here. He's only the second guy ever to debut at the Masters as a top 10 player. The other was Webb Simpson. And
yes.
Noren is somebody who's, I mean, he won four times on the European Tour last year from July to November, which is, people kind of, you know, smirk a little bit at the European Tour, but that's not a joke. Like, that, he was winning some legitimate tournaments.
And I tell you, the thing with him too, is his short game is awesome. And if the weather is as windy as it's going to be Thursday, Friday, you know, if you want to throw another OSU guy in the mix, it's hard not to put him somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's short game is great. He played at OSU. He's not afraid of the wind. I mean, for another OSU pick, it's hard to go against him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's ranked in the top 10, and he's 130-1. Like, that seems like a great bet.
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah,
go get your odds 30-1 for the top 10, exactly.
Well, and the other guy that I look at is Lee Westwood. He's like 100-1, and he's finished in the top 11 there 6 of the last 7 years, which is just, I mean,
crazy.
He just, no matter how he's playing, it seems like he plays that course really well. Do you have any courses like that, Charles, where you're just like, it doesn't matter how I'm playing, I'm going to play this course well?
You know, I mean, seemingly San Diego.
Yeah.
You know, different guys are comfortable around different areas, but you know, on the flip side of that, Henrik Stenson, what's his best finish at Augusta? T14, is it, or T15?
Yeah, he doesn't have any top tens. Yeah.
No, you would never bet that.
Yeah,
I mean, Henrik Stenson around Augusta, and you know, so a lot of people always like him and pick him to win, but yet he's never had his big year there.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a funny place. You know, I read this article the other day about Ernie Els, and he's probably playing in his last one because he's not qualified after this. He could qualify, but this will likely be his last one. And he just said, you know, I fell out of patience with the place because I got some bad breaks. I finished, you know, he finished second when in 2004 when Phil shot that back 931, and like he just kind of got fed up with it, and it's interesting just how it can kind of wear your patience down over time.
Well, it can, and that's sort of what I was saying earlier, where you can make double on every hole out there.
Yeah,
I mean, if it starts getting away from you out there, I mean, it can really make you look foolish. And I mean, has anybody's life been ruined more by Tiger Woods than Ernie Els? His run is amazing. I mean, it's just, I can see where a guy like that would say, you know what, I think I've just had enough.
I don't think we should feel too bad for Ernie. He's got four majors. He's got his own wine. I think Ernie's going to be just fine.
Ernie will get free.
Okay, Charles, appreciate your time, man. Enjoy the weekend. We wish you were playing, but hopefully we'll get him next year.
Well, you got it. Well, you guys have a great day, and call me anytime.
Okay, thanks, man.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Arson. All right, see you guys.
Okay.
Chucky. What a great dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, it's funny because I was talking to Chris Solomon, who runs No Laying Up, about 9 months ago or whatever. And he said, we were talking about Charles Howell, and he's like, can I have his number to, you know, try to get him on a podcast? And I said, I'm sure he'd do it. Like, he's awesome. And he texted me back like a couple of days later. He's like, this is the greatest dude ever. And I was like, yeah, I know. He's awesome. Like, he's asking us questions and sticking around on our, I mean, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's really great.
Do you think he can get us on Augusta? Can we play around with him? Or am I just too into the interview and think we're too cool now?
We might be overstepping our bounds there.
We're not that tight. Man, we're not that tight.
I meant to ask him about the one question. I thought of this last night and I forgot to ask, but he just texted me and said thanks for having me on, by the way. Which is hilarious. He's awesome. But I meant to ask him about the Chuck E. Three Sticks thing. Like, what did he think the first time he heard that? And
oh, he probably hates it.
Yeah, because that's probably like all people call him, right?
Yeah, and it's so ill fitting, and he probably has never been called that to his face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I tell you
like,
what, though,
maybe Tiger does. Like, Tiger's probably the only one allowed to call him that.
But didn't Scott Van Pelt come up with that?
I don't know. I remember hearing it the first time and thinking, wow, that's a goofy nickname for Charles Howell. He has such a prestigious name, and then you call him Chuck E. Three Sticks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. He's great. I was rooting for him over the last. So what I was referencing earlier, you have to get into the top 50 by the week before the Masters. So the week, the Monday, the Shell Houston Open starts. And so the last 2 months, you're kind of monitoring like who's 52nd, who's 49th or whatever. And Hal has been like right there. He's been like 63rd or whatever for, it seems like, let's see, he was 94th. He got up to 64th and 63rd, then dropped to 66. So he's like trending towards that 50, and he couldn't quite get there. He needed a better tournament at the match play a few weeks ago. But, I don't know. Speaking of getting by okay, Charles Howell's, I mean, like, he's had a good career. Like, he's made, like, 33 mil on the course.
Jeez.
He's won twice. I think he's one of only two or three guys to finish in the top 125 and keep their PGA Tour card every year since 2000. I think it's him and Mickelson. I think that's it.
Wow.
Which is
well, yeah,
just,
like, I mentioned he was going to be on the podcast, and Brian Keating is like, oh, what's he up to? I'm like, oh, he just made about 5 top 10s already this year. just that.
Oh, he's just clearing 3 mil every year. Every single year.
He has a giant raking in cash, playing extremely well on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because he is a guy that he would play if the purses were like $10,000. And not 10 million, you know, and like he just loves it. He loves being out there. He loves being on the range. He loves playing. I mean, he just loves all of it. So
he's from Augusta. Did he get to play Augusta growing up? I think we asked him that last podcast.
Yeah, I can't remember. I think he did. I think he had some connections. Here's the thing. If you're a youngster coming up in Augusta and you're pretty good at golf, I think there's people there that will figure out how to get you onto Augusta National.
Yeah, like he obviously was like an elite
yeah.
amateur,
yeah.
you know, before he got to OSU. So
yeah, I think you sort of meet the right people there.
What do you think he drinks?
That's what I was going to ask you. I think he's a Vader guy, a wheat guy.
Yeah, that fits him. That fits him to a T.
Yeah, I think I can see him sipping on a Vader, watching Rory win the Masters by 10 this year.
Well, you guys just have a single tear running down your cheek together.
I love that he's in on Rory. That's great.
You two are just all in on Rory.
I'll find out for us, though. By the way, I saw him at the Arnold Palmer, and we talked for a little bit, and I told him I was going to be at the Players, and he said, let's get together and have a beer. So I'll find out what kind of coupe he drinks.
Find out what courses he can get us onto. We can go play with him. I'm gonna have my game iron tight. I just bought new clubs. My game's going to be in great shape this summer.
I'm going to ask him, and he's gonna say Lakeside or Cimarron, something like that.
Like Hefner?
okay, let's talk... let's talk unis. Let's talk Masters attire. Let's get to this week's uniform preview, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Have you seen what Ricky Fowler's wearing this week?
I am pulling up the Puma Golf Twitter page. I thought I saw a picture where it didn't have any orange in it for his attire this week. Did I Did I look at the wrong thing? Surely that's wrong.
No, I think he's not going orange shirt on Sunday. I think it's gray. Yeah. I think it's gray.
With orange pants?
I think it's orange pants, yeah.
That's new. We've mentioned this before about Ricky, but he's gone away from the traffic cone look, which I think is a great move. I still want to see him rock like a orange hat, black shirt, orange pants, or the inverse of that. Maybe black, orange, black, something like that. I'm a big fan of the 1-2-1 combo.
Black, orange, black would have Southwell just reeling. He'd be swooning.
I can't find it. Did Ricky tweet this out or did Puma? I can't find it.
I don't know. Attire. It's posted on CBSSports.com if you want to check it out there.
Oh, company man.
No, so for the first round, he's
wearing camo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's not good.
You know my thoughts on camo.
It's not good.
No.
It's called flag stick camo or something.
Let's hope he's not in the woods in his camo on Thursday.
Yeah, let's hope that's not a picture of what's to come.
Yeah, that's not a good look. Who's the best dresser on tour, you think?
I really like Hal. I mean, that I'm saying that obviously because we just had him on. He's sharp though. I like Adam Scott. He always looks good.
Who's Hal sponsored by?
I don't even know.
You don't even know what he wears, but he's the best dressed.
No. I don't think it's a clothing sponsor. I think he's sponsored by like GE or something like that.
I thought everything you wore was provided.
Well, I'm sure that whoever sponsors him buys the clothes, but I don't think it's a specific brand of clothing.
Okay. I remember someone had like the best combo ever. It used to be maybe Adam Scott. He had polo and like Mercedes. Like that's a strong.
No, he had polo and Burberry.
Okay. Well, and now he has Mercedes. Like I want to be sponsored.
Or excuse me, he had Mercedes and Burberry, not polo.
Okay.
Charles Howe is FTI Consulting. He's also sponsored by Lexus, and then obviously he's got the PXG club deal.
Some of them are just walking billboards saying I'm rich. Like when it says like net jets on their sleeve, like I'm sponsored by private jets. That's how rich I am. That always cracks me up.
But yeah,
I'm Rolex.
I'm not into the Ricky look. I don't love the Nike stuff. I know that just pains you to no end.
Swoosh is getting a little too big for my liking on like Rory's hat. Swoosh is too big.
Well, and the shirts they're wearing, it looks like a t-shirt.
Yeah. I think Under Armour does a really good job with Jordan Spieth stuff.
They do. They do a really
good job.
I'm
not a big Under Armour guy, but they just keep it simple. You don't have to do anything outlandish. Just keep it simple. Keep it classy. I think his stuff looks great.
Under Armour's got a weird collection of people. They sponsor like Spieth, Daniel Summerhays, Gary Woodland, Hunter Mahan, Bern Weisberger. Like it's a bizarre grouping, but they hit big on Spieth. They can afford to sponsor as many people.
Yeah, Steph Curry and Spieth have worked out quite well for them.
And
is my man Brooks Nike still?
Koepka,
Brooks Koepka,
yeah.
Okay, all in on him.
Yeah, he should play well this week. He's such a long hitter. Do you want to go over your pool real quick before we get out of here? Okay,
Do you have a? Sorry, go ahead.
Let's hear one more time from our sponsor, Chris's University Spirit, and then we'll come back and wrap up our Masters talk. Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit. Okay. Do you have the pool in front of you, or do you want me to pull it up?
Yes, we're going to fill it out together.
Okay, why don't you explain what we're doing here so that people aren't confused about what's going on?
Right. Normally, I do a pool where you can pick any five golfers, and that's like there's no real degree of difficulty here. So there's this different pool where there's groups A, B, C, D, E, F, and they're basically sorted by the odds. So like Group A is like the big three, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, whereas Group B gets a little bigger. It's Hideki, Jason Day, Rahm, Rose, Mickelson, Fowler. So there's tiers, and you pick one golfer from each tier. And so I want to go over these with you and kind of pick your brain. You're dropping like Tony Haras on me earlier with Charles Howell. So I need your expertise on Si Wu Jing Wong and Ian Woosnam.
Well, and what's the explain to people how you eventually win the pool? Is it total score? What's the?
Okay, it's a cumulative score.
Okay,
you pick one of each six groups. They drop the worst two golfers unless it helps your score. So ideally, all your guys make the cut and they improve your score, or else they'll drop the two lowest of the six.
So if all six are under par, then you get to play them all.
Right. If all six of your players make the cut and are under par, would therefore help your total. They all count. But the two worst scores will be tossed unless they keep playing well.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Okay.
This is a much more higher degree of difficulty and just, I think, better way to do it.
Yeah, it's really difficult, and it's really fun because it gives you got to get on the Masters leaderboard because you only see like one shot from the Hideto Tanaharas of the world.
Let's see here. I'm trying to pick another goofy name on this list.
Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim's a good player. I actually almost had you pick him, but.
Yeah, you like him.
Yeah, he's a baller. He's 21 from Korea. Great swing. He won a tournament last year. Well, let's start at the top with group number one.
Yeah, we got Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, and Jordan Spieth. I have my thoughts on these three. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the safest pick is Spieth. And I think out of that group, you have to go Spieth because the ceiling for them is all the same. Like, it's winning. And so your ceiling doesn't change, but I think the floor is a lot higher for Spieth than it is for Rory and DJ.
That's a good way to look at it because, yes, Rory and Dustin, they can be volatile, whereas especially with their short games, which you have to have in tune at the Masters. So, yeah, as much as Dustin and Rory can bomb it, I think Spieth's the guy to go with here. And plus, I just think the redemption narrative is just – it's almost a layup for Spieth this year. I think I can just envision him getting the green jacket and erasing the demons from last year on hole 12. So let's go with Jordan Spieth with our A group.
Are you nervous that he missed the cut at Houston last week?
No. Did he not miss the cut the year before?
2014 missed the cut, T2 at Augusta. Nothing to worry about.
All I know is he's gone 2-1-2 in his three finishes at Augusta.
Seems pretty good. There's going to be a crying Jordan on the back of his license plate when he drives down Magnolia Lane on Friday night after he misses the cut by like 10 strokes.
I thought we were in this together, Kyle.
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Spieth's a pick.
Man, you got to go Spieth.
Let's go to group two.
Group B is Hideki Matsuyama, Jason Day, John Rahm, Justin Rose, Phil Mickelson, and Ricky Fowler.
This is.
Want to go down each guy? What about Matsuyama? A lot of people like him.
Yeah, I like him. I don't love him. It's he's not played very well recently. Played great to start the year. I wouldn't pick him.
I don't trust his putter. That to me is just. I can't pick anyone who doesn't putt it well.
Yeah,
that's my biggest thing.
You shouldn't.
And Jason Day, Jason Day is one of my favorite golfers on tour. I know he's a bit of a crying Vic where his wrist hurts just about every time he swings a club.
What is a crying Vic?
That's a wrong term. My dad, this is a funny story. My dad was playing at Oak Tree and Dr. Gil Morgan was playing in the group in front of him. And he hit some approach within like 5 feet and he was complaining about his shot. And my dad's buddy was like, "Oh, don't be a crying Vic." Which I guess is a guy that whines about good shots. Like Jim Furyk is like the ultimate crying Vic. Like every time he hits a great shot, he just looks aghast. And Dr. Gill kind of turned around and was like, "Yeah, you're right. That was a good shot. My bad." So I guess he's not a crying Vic. He just gets hurt a lot and is a bit of a ninny. But Jason Day is also, of course, dealing with his mom's health status.
Yeah.
She has cancer and it's a tragic story. And I don't know if I trust him to play through that this weekend.
Yeah, I think it might work in his favor, though. I think he's the kind of guy, he gets so wound up for these events that it's almost like if he has something that's maybe distracting him a little bit, it's helpful, you know? Now, obviously, having your mom have cancer is not like a great thing, but he did say on Tuesday that she's doing well and progressing well, and he feels like he's able to concentrate a little bit more on golf. So I think he would be a safe, fine pick. I would take him over Hideki.
He hasn't played well since switching to Nike, though, has he?
No, but he's, I mean, it's just the clothes. It's not clubs.
Oh, I know, but I'm just, you know, uniform karma is real, you know? And John Rahm, this guy Baller. Has gone from young stud to like the fourth favorite or fifth favorite.
Yeah,
like, I know he's good, Kyle, but like, can we pump the brakes on John Rahm?
No, the brakes will not be pumped. He said, I want DJ in the match play. I want DJ right now. Like, I want him.
And
he didn't say it like that, but he essentially said, like, I want to beat DJ in the finals. And he got him, and DJ was five up through, like, eight holes on him. but then Rahm came all the way back, pushed it to the 18th hole, and ended up losing. But he's awesome. Former number one amateur in the world. He was the number one amateur for, like, 60 weeks, all-time record.
Jeez.
He's a really, really good player. I think he is what everybody thought Sergio was going to be. I think he will be that good. I think he'll be better. I think he'll have a better career than Sergio. And Sergio's had a great career.
How many Spaniards are named John, by the way?
And it's
that's so weird to me.
It's J-O-N. It's not even a weird spelling.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't like him.
Okay.
Too much people are too on him for me.
Okay.
This is the guy that I might like more than anyone else, other than the big three, obviously, is Justin Rose. I think he is a lock for top 15.
Yeah, I love it. Finished T2 a couple years ago. I think Justin Ray of Golf Channel, who, if you're not following, you should be. He had a stat the other day. I think he's number one in the last 5 years in birdies and eagles made at Augusta. He's been awesome there. He is an outrageous ball striker. He's another guy, like, if he putts it well, he'll contend. So I would take so far. I would take either him or Day.
I really like Justin Rose. Phil Mickelson. Do you trust Phil at age 46? Is that right?
Yeah, he'd be the oldest winner ever. He could shoot 80-80 or 65-65 in the first two rounds. I have no idea.
What's his finishes the last 3 years of the Masters?
Cut, T2, cut.
Whew, that's scary. That is frightening.
So I wouldn't take him just because, again, like, the ceiling for him is the same as Day or Rose or the next guy. But the floor is like, I mean, the floor is like finishing last. I feel like
he's like sitting on a lawn chair on 16 like he was this week at Houston.
Exactly. He's made 20 of 23 cuts as a pro, but he's missed two of the last three. So I would not take him.
So the ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is
for Mickelson.
The floor might be the real issue that you need.
Okay. And last but not least, Ricky Fowler. I love Ricky. I would love to see him win it. He's too streaky to win at Augusta for me. Like we saw at Houston, like he'll make three birdies in a row and then he'll make three bogeys in a row. He's too streaky.
Yeah. And he talked about that. He talked about limiting his bogeys and double bogeys, and you're going to make bogeys. Like Charles Howell said, like you can make double bogeys a lot. And it's about being patient and missing in the right spots. And I think he's figuring that out. I would put him up there with Day and Rose. I think he's going to play really well this week. Of course, he went out and shot 80 in the first round last year. So,
yeah, that was so disheartening.
I would put him, if you want to pick him, do it. But I would probably go Day or Justin Rose.
I'd
probably go Rose.
As you noted on you ranked the field on CBS Sports golf webpage. Can't spit it out. You noted that Ricky only has one top 10 at the Masters. We kind of generally view him as a really good player at the Masters because he had those top fives all in the same year.
Yeah.
But he's only had one top 10 there. So I want Justin Rose. Give me the Brit. You cool with that?
Yeah, Spieth and Rose. That's solid so far.
Yeah, I like the looks of that. Okay, Group C. We'll go a little quicker on these. Adam Scott, Brant Snedeker, Bubba Watson, Henrik Stenson, Justin Thomas, Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia.
You're not.
I have a soft spot for Brant Snedeker. Among all players I want to win, Snedeker might be number one for me.
Yeah, Snedeker's up there for me. Has anybody ever looked more like he should be the winner of a golf tournament in the Deep South than Brant Snedeker?
Where did he go to college? Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Yeah, he needs to rock like Vandy pants, you know, like the
the anchors.
Fans, yeah. I love him.
He's sponsored by Peter Millar. He's a really good dude. He's super nice and always accommodating. I like him this year. Out of that group, don't like Bubba. Don't like Henrik at all. He's not been good at Augusta, Hal said. I like Snedeker, Thomas, Casey, or Sergio. Sergio is going to be awesome if it's really windy. Him and Fowler both. They have a really low ball flight, which is why they play well at the British Open, or the Open Championship, excuse me.
Yeah, I don't like Adam Scott in this group. I don't like Bubba Watson, Stinson. Justin Thomas, I think, could like top five or miss the cut. Like, he's hit or miss. I mean, I know you love him.
That's what he's done so far this year. He's like 3 wins and 4 missed cuts. Like,
right.
He either wins or misses the cut. So
my dad is on Paul Casey.
Yep.
Casey. He loves Paul Casey. But I think Charles Howell talked me into Sergio. As much as I don't trust Sergio's putting, he seems like in a good place, like to where he's really played well in the majors lately, hasn't he? Do you have his finishes?
He's got, I think, 22 all-time top 10s at majors without a win. How about that?
Yeah, see, I want a guy less volatile that'll make the cut. I can see Sergio making the cut before most of the guys on this list. You cool with Sergio?
Yeah, I love Sergio there. I think he's got 22 all-time top 10s. I think John Daly has 2, and they're both wins.
God, that's so unfair.
How much does that just burn Sergio? Like, it's got to be so frustrated.
Well, how mad is he going to be if some Spaniard named John Rahm wins one before him? Like, that'll be just unseemly. All right, we'll go Sergio in Group C. Group D has a longer list.
Okay, just roll through them. And actually, you want me to just – I've got it in front of me. You just want me to pick? Or do you want to go through them?
I'll tell you who I like of this group. Okay. I really like, and you wrote about him on your ranking the field, Thomas Peters is terrifying.
Yeah.
He's going to just dominate the Ryder Cup for years, and he's just a big, scary man. I'm going to put Thomas Peters on almost all my pools. I really like him in this group.
Yeah, Thomas Peters won a national championship at our beloved Illinois. He was the individual NCAA champion, beat out Spieth and Justin Thomas. This is a really intriguing group. Your boy Brooks is in it, Brooks Koepka. I'm looking at it. I really like, just rolling through it, Lee Westwood, 6 top 11s in the last 7 years. Oof, that's tough.
Hard not to pick him.
That's tough to ignore. Oosthuizen is 4 swings from having 4 majors. That's an amazing stat. And he's been in a playoff here before. And then Tyrrell Hatton, who Charles Howell mentioned, and I love. I think he played with Ricky in the final round at the Open last year. I think he finished in the top 10 there. I think he finished in the top 10 there and the PGA Championship. So I'm in on him.
What about Adam Hadwin? A lot of people like him.
He's fine, but yeah.
And you were big on Leishman too.
I do like Leishman. He finished second here in 2013 when Adam Scott won, and he just won Bay Hill. I think he's a good player.
As much as I like Peters, and as much as you've tried to talk me into Hatton, I think Lee Westwood's the pick here. Yes. He's the safest pick of the group.
I like it. That's a good pick.
I mean, you said it. Top 11 in like six of the last seven years. Is that the stat?
Top 11, six of the last seven. He was T2 last year. If Danny Willett doesn't play the Masters, Lee Westwood's in a playoff with Jordan Spieth. Oof. How about that?
Pretty good. Yeah, I like my pick. I'll go Lee Westwood there.
Okay, Group E.
It gets a little dicey here.
It gets dark.
Well, I mean, leading the field to me in this group is Alex Noren, who we talked about. I mean, for a guy in this group of – these are all about 100-to-1 shots or maybe bigger for most of them. For me, it's between Alex Noren and Francesco Molinari, who's played really well so far this year.
How bad is it that the defending champ is in this group, Danny Willett?
Yeah, like, has he played poorly since the Masters?
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. Yeah.
He'll go down as a one major champion.
Yeah, for sure. I shouldn't say for sure, but that's most likely. You've also got Gary Woodland and JB Holmes in this group. JB Holmes finished 4th last year at the Masters.
Didn't know that.
So I would go Noren. Little worried that it's his first time.
Not great.
And that he doesn't play on the PGA Tour a ton. The European Tour is just not as difficult, although it's still good. I would go Noren or Woodland, Gary Woodland, or JB Holmes.
I don't like any of those.
Go
picks.
Norin. Go Oklahoma State.
Yeah, he's OSU. We'll pick him.
Yeah,
and he's top 10 in the world. I mean, out of all these guys on this list, I think you got to pick him just for that fact alone.
And he won last year. He won the British Masters and the European Masters. Now all he has to add is the American Masters.
Does the European Masters, is it like the same course, just goes left to right instead of right to left? Just, it's like back, like driving on a different side of the road in Europe.
They hand out a yellow jacket or an orange jacket.
Shout out to Danny Willett, though, for the greatest comeback in Ryder Cup history, when a guy was heckling him and he said, "Hey, what color is your jacket?" "Mine's green." So shout out to Danny Willett for at least he had a great comeback there.
Yeah, it was solid.
This last group is just deep, dark, and full of terror. I don't like anyone on this list, so you're going to have to talk me into somebody.
Yeah, well, Brad Dahlke is an OU guy. He plays on the OU team right now. He's one of the five amateurs, so that's interesting. Siwoo Kim, my dude, is on here.
Why do you like him?
Well, he's just got a great swing. He's a really good player. He's really young, too. He's 21. But there's only been two 21-year-olds win the Masters, and he's not going to be the third.
Freddie Couples on this list. He tends to get up there on the leaderboard.
Yeah, Couples is interesting. He's getting older. Ernie Els is interesting. Curtis Luck is the number one amateur in the world. He's an Australian. Jordan Spieth played with him in the Australian Open in December and said this dude's incredible. But it's tough to pick an amateur. I think Webb Simpson, he's been top 30 the last 2 years, so I might go with him. He's been pretty consistently good, and he almost won the Phoenix Open earlier this year, lost in a playoff to Hideki Matsuyama. So I'd probably go Webb or Ernie Els or Fred Couples.
Yeah. Who do you think makes the cut out of those three?
The safest is Webb.
Yeah, he's won a major, playing well this year.
Yeah.
One of the few names I like on here, so we'll go Webb. So, to recap, we got Spieth, Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, Lee Westwood, Alex Norin, and Webb Simpson. That's a pretty solid field.
Yeah, that's
solid group.
That's all former Ryder Cuppers except for Norin.
Is that right?
Yeah,
he's from Sweden, so I think he can't play in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, he almost he was almost a captain's pick last year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And he's old, too. I thought he was fresh out of OSU.
No, he's like 30, 34, 35, something like that.
So he must have played there.
Right after Hal.
Right after Hal, yeah. So, yeah. Interesting. Well, yeah. Who are you picking to win it?
I picked Rory. I think I picked Rory.
Shocker.
I think I picked Rory every year. I just picked the guy I want to write about. I mean, it's
That's not your job, Kyle. You got to pick who you think will win it.
No, but that's the thing. You can make a case for 15 guys, and nobody has any idea. Danny Willett wins the Masters last year. Are you kidding me? Nobody picked that. Like, it's a free for all. And I think that when the chips are down and Rory is there on Sunday, that I think he gets it done.
I don't trust his putter. He's not a good enough putter to win.
Yeah,
that's
but
why he hasn't.
He's one of the best ball strikers of all. He's the best driver of the golf ball of all time.
Better than Dustin Johnson?
Doesn't
hit it as far. I know that.
I think he is.
Well, and here's the thing: like all the Rory, like he has backdoored his way to so many top tens and majors. He never plays well early.
He's got four major championships, Carson. Do you know how many four major championships is?
I do. I mean, it's Rory McIlroy. I'm not saying he's William McGirt. Obviously, he's Rory freaking McIlroy, but I should love Rory. He wears Nike. He's a Manchester United fan like myself. You've told me countless stories where he's been super nice to you. Like, I should love Rory. I don't know why I don't. I just cannot accept him. I'm not sure why.
Wow.
This will be the year. Maybe I'll just bandwagon after he wins the green jacket.
After he wins the Grand Slam, you're going to hop on.
if he dons a Manchester United jersey underneath the green jacket, then it's a wrap. I'm in.
Not out of the question. Not out of the question.
No. Well, it'll be fun. Have fun out there, man. Are you going to hook me up with anything in the pro shop?
Well, what are you looking for? You just got new clubs, so do you need, like, head cover? Like, what do you need here?
Yeah. I wouldn't mind something to, like, put up in my house, like a flag or a something commemorative. You hooked me up with a. I got my green polo. It's hard to top that green polo. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I'll be wearing that this weekend.
Yes, I love it.
Just anything I can like just commemorate my. I've got a bachelor pad full of sports memorabilia, so I would like something from the Masters.
And it can be the year you won your pool.
Exactly.
You can remember it by that.
Yeah, well, I'll send you a residual check if we. Actually, this pool is just for fun. If only gambling were legal, you know, it's just for fun and grins.
Okay, Carson, enjoy the rest of the week. We will be back probably Tuesday next week to chat about the Masters and everything that's going on with Oklahoma State.
Sounds good, man. Have fun this weekend.
Okay, see ya.
See ya.